Genesis 6, 1 through 8. In Genesis 6, God created the earth 6,000 years ago. The earth is about 6,000 years old. It's no older. About 1,600 years after God created the world, God sent a worldwide flood. And that's recorded there. These days were so wicked that God decided to destroy His creation. It had become corrupt. When you look at verse number 5, it said, God saw the wickedness of man was great. And then that last part of the verse, it says, well, I'll just finish it, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Evil's bad enough. Evil continually is bad enough. Only evil continually is over the top. That's over the top. Jesus, 2,400 years later, I'd like you to take your Bible and go to Matthew 24 and just want you to see something. In Matthew 24, 2,400 years later, as Jesus gives us a prophetic history and our relation to it, that's Matthew 24, we're also going to look at Luke 17 in just a second. Jesus is asked, when is the end of the times, and when is he going to destroy the world? He's asked three questions at the start of Matthew 24. And as he looks back on the times before when he flooded the earth, watch what he says. Matthew 24, and look at verse 36. Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Watch, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, watch this. So Jesus, 2,400 years later, after the flood, looks back. He's asked by the disciples, and he is telling them history. And he said, what I did in the past, in the days of Noah, I'm going to do again before I come. I destroyed it once by water. This time it's going to be destroyed by fire. As he looks back, he calls those wicked days the days of Noah. Now take your Bible and go to Luke 17. Let's look at this one more time. This is the two places here. Luke 17, and look at verse number 26. Luke 17, and look at verse number 26. And as it was in, here we go again, the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. I'm going to read you one more passage where it says, the days of Noah. Listen carefully. 1 Peter 3:20 says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, Genesis tells us that these were the days of corruption, violence, wickedness. Look, God doesn't make any mistakes, but there's one time, do you realize the first time the word repent is used in the Bible, it's talking about God being sorry he made man? I repent that I have created them. It repenteth me. And you get a real good definition of the word repent. Yes, he's changing his mind, but it does include regret. Right? God never makes a mistake, but if God ever thought, I made a mistake, it's that point in the Bible. We know God doesn't make mistakes, okay? However, God is thinking, I am really sorry that I made man. And this time is so wicked that that's the only time you find in the Bible where God says, I'm going to destroy everything. These were the days of corruption, violence, wickedness, evil, and a sin that was so great and angered God that he would destroy them all. God looks back on it though, and as he's teaching the disciples, the Lord Jesus calls those days, not the days of sin, he calls those days the days of Noah. Now I hope this encourages you. But he didn't say back in those days, boy, it was corrupt. He said back in those days, those were the days of Noah, those were the days I had a preacher. Amen? I have someone standing in the wickedness. Jesus didn't say, you know, back in those days, mankind was so terrible I had to wipe them off the face of the earth. God said, back in those days, I had a guy that stood for me. You should have seen him. Mitch, when wickedness was as vile as you could imagine, there was someone standing for me against the tide. And that's why he calls them the days of Noah. You say, would God do that? Wait a second. Do you remember when Satan came to Job? When Satan was standing before God, do you remember God's word to Satan? He said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth? Which tells me this, your Christianity either attracts God's attention, or let's go the other way, if it's too much of a joke, God doesn't count it. Praise God, you can't lose your salvation. But God is saying, there is people I take notice of, and it's those who do what? Stand before me when the sin is going on. Those who stand before me. God refers to those days as the days of Noah. What God remembered about those times is not all the people that rejected him, not all the people that offended God, not all the people who sinned against him, but what God remembered was the man that he had that stood for him. That should be encouraging. That should be encouraging. These don't have to be the days that we're living in, the days of sodomites and Obama and Hillary and corruption and transgender and child molesters and ISIS and murder and communist gun control, and we can just go on. These could be the days, amen, of Gospel Light Baptist Church. Amen? These could be the days of you standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this statement because it helps me. It encourages me. This sermon may just be to encourage me tonight, but I hope it encourages you. The darker the light, the more the light shines. If all the lights are on, you don't see the lit candle. But when it gets darker and darker and darker, everybody appreciates the light. Same thing with a Christian. Right? You're a light set on a hill, a light that cannot be hid. Right? That's what God calls us. It is dark times. However, this could be the days of you standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. These could be the days that God could look back, think about this, 1,000 years from now, and say, you know, in that day, that man stood for me, and that woman stood for me. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. It also says, I love this verse, and it's just been a blessing to me. Psalm 4:3. Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. God takes note of your love for him. And God says, if you read Ezekiel chapter 9, you can find out God puts a special mark. If sin breaks your heart and you weep and you cry, them that sigh and that cry for the abominations that are done in the land, God says, I put a special mark on you. And God says, those are the ones I preserve from judgment. Those are the ones I preserve from judgment. In the early 1900s, that was the time of the false Bible versions being turned out, 1901, from the corrupt manuscripts, and the time of the change of the educational system by Dewey, the time of the formation of the corrupt Federal Reserve, and the League of Nations was formed in the early 1900s, the First World War and the Great War. There was a lot of corruption back in the early 1900s. But you know, I can either look at it that way, or I can think, you know, I'd like to see J. Frank Norris and Bob Jones Sr. and Billy Sunday preach in those days. Do you realize as they were going across the country, Chicago's the only city that still to this day says we're the only city that Billy Sunday couldn't dry up. As they would go from town to town, the cities would dry up. The liquor crowd, they'd quit selling the liquor. They'd quit. I mean, those were great preaching days. I'd like to have seen those days. Yes, those were corrupt times. However, at the same time, those were the days, I think, of great preaching. If you think about the mid-1800s, how corrupt they were with the filth of the German rationalism and Tischendorf and Griesbach and Abraham Lincoln breaking the United States Constitution and threatening the greatest tax hike in history of 40%. And violating the First Amendment and the darkness of the Civil War. You can think of it that way, or you can think, I'd like to have heard C.H. Spurgeon preach. He preached to thousands, and you know, every Monday morning they'd take his sermon and print it in the morning paper in London. His sermon they would take and put in the paper. He was some preacher. Those were the days of C.H. Spurgeon. How about this? I'd like to have heard C.H. Spurgeon preach. I'd like to hear J.R. Graves preach, B.H. Carroll, I.M. Haldeman, John T. Christian, and many others. These days don't have to be days of nothing but apostasy. These days that we're living in don't have to be nothing but sin and nothing but evil. I'm not saying you should ignore it, but at the same time, this could be the days where you stand for God and God remembers it as our time. As our time, where we don't back down. Where, yeah, we're going to preach against the Sodomites. We're going to preach against the filth and the corruption. And we're going to preach against the sin of our day. However, these were not the evil days of evil men here when Jesus is talking in Matthew 24. These were the days of Noah. These weren't the days of corruption. These were the days of Noah. These weren't the days of giants in the earth. These were the days of Noah. Jesus, you were there. Tell us what you remember about those days. Those were the days of Noah. Noah built a human ark, an ark. He saved the human race. Noah sought me. Man, Noah was such a great man. He found my grace. Noah trusted my word and preached my truth. What a man. You'd love to meet him someday when you get to heaven. This is encouragement. Why am I preaching a message like this? This is supposed to be encouragement to look beyond the worthless information of the internet news headlines and the wicked slant of the media. Everywhere you look, Trump's horrible. Stupid, he's an idiot, he's a racist, Donald Trump's going to kill us all. And Hillary's wonderful. Everywhere, every day. Her lying, her murderous ways, it has no bearing. Nothing. It's just she's wonderful. And haven't we been here before? Haven't we been here before? The older you get, don't you remember? Bob Dole was stupid, right? George Bush was incompetent. Ronald Reagan was just a foolish person from Hollywood. To the media and the liberals, if anyone is not for turning the whole country over to the devil and destroying the Constitution, they're stupid. Haven't we been here before? Every person that is for doing right, and I didn't say they're perfect, but every person that's for standing for right and goes against the system is a crook. We've seen this before. Donald Trump's stupid. Donald Trump's this. Hillary's wonderful. Yuck. Finally, you just got to shut it off. With a truth like this, the days of Noah, this you could walk right past now the news broadcasts and the insane media and say, you know what? I'm sick of it. This is my day. This is not the day of ISIS. This is the day I stand for God. This is not the day of a broken Republican Party that hates Trump and a communistic Democratic Party, but this is the day I stand for God. This is not the day of perverts in the restroom. This is the day I stand for God. When Jesus Christ looks back on this time in history, I'd like him to be able to say, I had a group of people that sought my grace and preached my word and trusted me and never bought into the lies that they were being told by the world and the media. It could be that way. It could be that way. You see, we've been given a big job. I mentioned this morning, God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I also made mention this morning, there's not a whole lot of people helping us. I've never had a soul winner come to my door since I've been here. I really haven't even seen Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons here. But let alone, I'd love it if another independent fundamental Baptist came to my door not knowing I'm a pastor and not, it still has not happened since I've been saved. I'd love to have an independent fundamental Baptist come to my door and say, I'm from such and such a church. Sir, I have a question. Would you like to know for sure if you're on your way to heaven? Do you know that 100% for sure? I would say, come here. Sit down on that couch right there. You want anything to drink? I'm ordering you a pizza. That's never happened to me. But the day it does, now don't you come by my house. Do you understand? You said. But I've never had another Christian come in. I've never even had another Christian, not let alone come to my house or come to meet me out on the street or anybody hand me a tract and say, do you know for sure if you died, are you 100% sure you're on your way to heaven? I wouldn't kiss him, but I'd probably hug him. I'd be like, come here, man. That'd have to be so encouraging. We've been given a big job to do, winning the world to the Lord, and I don't see a whole lot of people doing it. If soul winning scares you, can I use Noah to encourage you? You need to know that soul winning scares all of us. We all do it by faith because we're commanded to do it. Did you know Noah never built an ark?
Well, I've never witnessed anybody.
Noah never built an ark. Think about it. God didn't ask Noah to build an ark because Noah had a great boat building business. Oh, there's a guy. He'll build an ark for me. There were no seas in those days. Do you understand? They had never rained for 1,653 years, whatever the time is there. There were no seas. There were no boats. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it was like? God, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Make it this long, this wide, this high. Then I'm going to call all the animals to it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Think about this. Think what Noah didn't have. God told Noah to build an ark, and Noah had no idea what an ark was. Can you imagine? Even I think he cut the trees down, he made the wood, but let's say he went to the hardware store. Yeah, I need some pitch, and I need about 300 of those boards there. And you know when you come to the front of the ark, what's an ark? It's like a boat. What's a boat? It floats on water. There was no place to float it. Do you understand? There were no lakes. Well, it's gonna flood. What's a flood? Well, it's where water comes from the sky, and it raises, and then you kind of. Can you imagine him trying to describe it? I don't know, God told me. I've never seen a boat. I've never seen it rain. But I'm trying to do what God told me to do.
That's right.
I'm trying to do what God told me to do. Noah obeyed by faith, and he started right away. He didn't order an ark kit from Amazon. He didn't watch a YouTube video on how to build an ark. Noah didn't have a hardware store or a foundry or a lumber company. Noah didn't have anything. He was clueless. But he did what God told him to do, walked with God, sought His grace, and the Lord guided him and helped him figure it out. God walked Noah through it, and God called those days, He trusted me, and for 120 years He built the ark, right? That's a long time. 120 years He was building the ark. He's 600 years old. And God said, those were the days of Noah. And I don't know when I've had a man that didn't know what he was doing and let me guide him through the process step by step like Noah did. Those were the days of Noah. He trusted me. You see, we're preaching the gospel to a pretty rotten society, and it's getting worse. It's getting less and less friendly to Christians. But have you also noticed, now I'm going somewhere with this, there's a lot of Christians though down here. If the rapture happens, more than 8 people are leaving this earth. Okay? The saved are going up. More than 8. Did you ever think about this? Worldwide, after 100 years of preaching from Noah, only 8 people got on the ark. That is more opposition than you and I will face or know in 10 lifetimes. Think about it. This is more outnumbered than you and I will ever be. Praise God. I love the church. I love getting together, and it's wonderful fellowshipping and singing together. Noah had a bigger job than you, and he had less help to do it than you and I do, but he still preached righteousness and stood for the Lord. Noah went out there by himself and got laughed at. Noah got laughed at, and that's not, I mean, can you imagine? What are you building, Noah? An ark? Why? It's gonna flood. I've told you that before. What's a flood? It's where it rains. When has that ever happened, Noah? I don't know, but God told me it's going to. Noah is a cuckoo, a nut job. He's half baked. I think the people thought that. He said something is going to happen that has never happened in history. Think about it. Now, we preach that Noah was laughed at. And I think it's because we think, because that's because some of us have been laughed at. Okay? In this society. However, I do want you to think that Noah being laughed at really is not in the Bible. However, I see how we support it. No one believed Noah but his family. In Hebrews 11:7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Listen closely. Hebrews 11:7 says, Noah was warned of God. Now, no one else was warned of God. Just Noah. Everyone else did not hear the warning, only from Noah, and everybody that didn't hear it and didn't heed it perished. Everybody else was supposed to be warned by Noah. You say, where are you going with this? If I apply this to our day? God didn't warn the human race. God warned Noah, and Noah warned everyone else. God is not going to warn America. God has warned you, and God has warned me, and God expects us to tell people about the warning. This world's coming to an end. It is our job, like it was Noah's, yes, to tell people the end is coming. I don't know when the raptures happen, but trust me, you don't want to be left behind. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? It's a free gift. It's wonderful, but I'm telling you, it's getting ready to happen. It's our job, like it was Noah's, to tell people of what we've been warned about. What we've been warned about. Jesus told us in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, those were the days I had Noah. Egypt was rotten, but God had Moses. Canaan was vile, but God had Joshua. How rotten was Israel, but God had Isaiah and Jeremiah. How rotten was Babylon, but God had Daniel. How corrupt were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but God had John the Baptist to stand. How sick was the Roman Empire, but God had the Apostle Paul. Let me ask you this. We can talk about how bad it is this day, but I don't need to know that as much as all I need to know is this. Does God have you? That's all that matters now. Yeah, but they're doing this to the Constitution and this to the states, and they're doing this and they're passing this bill, and who knows what's going to happen to education and the Christian schools, and does God have you? That's all that matters. What can God use you to do in this time? And watch this. We're kind of like blind dogs in a meat house. Anywhere we shine the light, it's bright. It's not one directional. It's so dark, it is nasty. But shine your light. Take a stand. Pass out tracts. Witness for the Lord. Take a stand for God. At the workplace where we're at, we've got a time that you're right. This may be the evilest time per capita in the history of mankind. You're right, but this could be our day. This could be our day. Does God have you? I know what I've said, but these don't have to be the days of sin. They could be your day. They don't have to be the days of apostasy. They could be your day. They don't have to be the day. These don't have to be the days that America was destroyed. These could be the days when you sought God's grace, yielded yourself to the Lord, and let Him use you to build an ark. Sound the warning and make a place of safety. The days of Noah. If you just think about it, wouldn't it be something at the judgment seat of Christ if Jesus said, the days of 2015 to 2020, those were the days of Gospel Light Baptist Church. The days of 1990, I'm just going to use some people here, so just stick with me. The days of 1990 to 2000, those were the days of John Wilkins, Roy Wilkins. The days of 2000 to 2010, those were the days of John Dorsey. Those were the days He witnessed for me and He stood and He preached righteousness. I can go around the room. The days of 2010 to 2020, Those were the days of Garland Thompson. The days of 2020 and 2030, those were the days of Brett Doggett. The days of 2030 and 2040, those were the days of Brother Sherbert. I'm just saying it could be that way. It could be that way. You say, man, this happened and this happened, and God says, but in those days I had a man. I had a man. And he stood for me, and he loved me, and they were wonderful days. I don't even remember the filth. All I remember is who stood for me. Now, this corruption, if you think about it, this corruption, the world being destroyed, it just went on as God said it would. Think about this just for a second. Noah never prayed. He never prayed, oh God, please don't let it flood. So many people are going to be drowned, and Lord, we don't want to see anybody hurt, and Lord, we love our country, and we love our nation. Noah didn't pray that. Isn't that goofy? Think about it just for a minute.
Noah, I want you to build an ark, and I'm going to destroy everybody that doesn't get on that ark.
For 120 years, he didn't pray, he preached. He preached. You say, why would God said he was going to send a flood? Noah was supposed to preach and tell the people there was an escape. Why would we pray presently, dear Lord, please don't let the tribulation happen. Lord, please don't let the Antichrist come. Lord, please don't open up that pit and let those demons out during the tribulation. You are wasting your time. God has already said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You don't pray against what God's spoken for, what God has said. Does anybody know the names of the people that drowned in the flood? None. Does anybody know the names of the people that got burned up in Sodom and Gomorrah? None. The only name you have is Noah. The only other names you have are the people that believed him and got on the ark. Everybody else's name has been blotted out with no remembrance and no record. I don't like what's going on in our country. I don't like what's going on in our churches. I don't like what's going on in the public schools. I don't like what's going on in the public colleges. I don't like what's going on in so-called Bible colleges. But I promise you, 1,000 years from now, the only names that are going to be remembered from this generation will be the names of those who were saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody else is going to be completely forgotten. It won't matter.
Amen. Yes, sir.
1,000 years from now. God knows. Look, if you want to make a name for yourself, go soul winning. Amen. If you want to make a name for yourself, preach the Word of God. If you want to make a name for yourself, live holy. Get God's attention. God knows the world's evil and corrupt and the whole thing lies in wickedness. And the Lord said, who do I got? Who is standing up for me? Now, go back to Matthew and look at chapter 24, and let's show you another part of this. Ready? Matthew 24, and we're almost done. No, we will not be here till midnight. I was going to say, your money back, but I don't want you to not tithe. Matthew 24, verse 36. Ready? Watch this. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days, I'm at verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, that's not a sin, and drinking, that's not sinful, and marrying, that's not a sin, and giving in marriage, that's not sinful either, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know what the problem was? They just ignored Noah. They just ignored him. They just went on with life as usual. How could anybody say, I just didn't know. I didn't know it's going to happen. Did you not see the ark? It was the length of several football fields.
So you just ignore, I didn't know it was going to happen. What about the day that all these animals started coming two by two and some by sevens that you'd never seen before? They came from all over the earth. God called them. You don't remember that? Oh, I didn't know that was going to... They just ignored God. They ignored the warning. Just like nowadays. You see, well, the game was on. And I had to find Pokemon. Falling off a cliff while playing a video game. Are you kidding me? How nuts. It's bad enough that the car wreck goes up from that. But anyways, the game was on. Well, now take your Bible and go to Luke 17. Let's go back there. We've been there once, but go to Luke 17 and watch this. They just ignored Noah. They just ignored him. If you take Noah, I don't think I'm gonna. Praise God, we live in today. I love America, and I'm thankful I'm here in this time frame. I don't want to be in any other time frame. But have you ever thought about this? When Noah got up to preach, and he preached for 100 years while he's making the ark, right? Make, go out, preach. Folks, Jesus said he's coming and he's going to send a flood and you need to, ha ha, Noah, ha ha, stupid Noah. He preached for 100 years. Nobody listened but his family. Nobody. Do you think whenever Noah went out that he thought it was going to change his society? He was already watching his society respond. You say, why would you do that? Somebody said, well, we need to hand out tracts and go soul winning and build this church. What happens when soul winning and passing out tracts doesn't build our church? You do it for obedience' sake. I don't know who it's reaching. Right now, praise God, we get to see fruit from our labors. Amen? It's encouraging. But what happens when you get like Noah and you don't see any fruit? Do you still hand out tracts? Do you still pass them out? Well, it's not going to make any difference. Noah preached, and I think he was looking at a vile society that he knew wasn't going to change. What happens if we don't save America? Somebody said, well, that's our cause, to save America. I didn't get in this thing to get to save America. Watch this, I got 5 kids. I don't want anything bad to happen to America. You understand? But at the same time, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I just know what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen? Look at Luke 17. Watch this. I'm just gonna read quickly. Verse 26 and verse 28 is really what I want to show you. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat. So let me think this. Noah had a day and Lot had a day. Noah had a day and Lot had a day. It says here, they did eat. They did the same thing. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. They builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Last verse, chapter I want you to go to is go to 2 Peter now, chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. This is the last scripture we'll go to. I'll wrap this up. The days of Noah and the days of Lot. The days of Noah and the days of Lot. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Watch verse 7. And deliver just Lot. So he's going to use Noah and Lot in this passage, and watch how the Lord, beautiful, and God's word's always wonderful, but watch how he uses the two. And deliver just Lot. He did not deliver just Lot as in Lot alone. He delivered Lot and his children, right?
His wife got turned into a pillar of salt, but he was just. Lot was just as far as being saved. He delivered saved or just justified Lot. Ready? Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of the judgment of judgment to be punished. So listen closely. So God uses Noah and Lot. Just listen to me. In Noah's day, God had a just man named Noah. God had a man named Noah who preached and stood. Noah was not only righteous, but he preached righteousness to his generation. In Lot's day, God had a just man or a saved man named Lot. Lot, though he was righteous when he called on the name of the Lord, wanted to try, though, a different approach. Lot wanted to live among them and be one of them. Lot said, I'm going to be culturally sensitive. I'm going to try to reach them through their lifestyle. You know, Noah was such a straight-laced, hard-nosed Bible preacher serving the Lord. Lot said, I'd rather be a contemporary emerging church. Relate to the people, seeker-sensitive, non-offensive, rub shoulders with the sodomites, sit with them and eat with them in the gate. I'm going to be different than Noah. Do you see the contrast? He said one had this message. He was a preacher of righteousness. That's Noah. And Lot vexed his soul with their... Look at the word vex. Poisoned his soul with their unlawful deeds. According to God, Noah was pleasing the Lord and he was very successful in doing what God wanted him to do. Lot was a total disaster and destroyed his family. You don't have to read 19 chapters in the Bible to learn that you don't reach the world by becoming one of them. You don't warn them of the coming destruction by participating with them in their sin. We tell the stories about people laughing at Noah. And I don't have a problem with it, but you do need to know it's not in the Bible. You know who they laughed at, though? Lot. Come on, we got to get out of here. He goes tell his kids. Then his kids mocked him. No, God's going to destroy this place. He's raining fire and brimstone. They did laugh at Lot. Nowhere in your Bible is it found that they laughed at Noah, but they laughed at Lot. Save us from the same destruction you participate in? Lot was a joke. Lot was a joke. You see, Lot's kids hung out with the sodomites, and the sodomites hung out with Lot's kids. His kids laughed at him because he had no testimony, no standing for God. In Noah's day, God saw the wickedness of man, but Noah didn't see it. Noah was upright and walked with the Lord, right? God saw the wickedness. Okay? In Lot's day, it is said this about Lot. That righteous man, that saved man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I'm going to end this with this tonight. How can you reach a world when you're looking at what they're looking at? How can you reach the world when you're listening to what they're listening to? I'll answer it for you. You can't. Lot could not influence his generation because he liked their movies. He liked their TV shows. He liked their music. He liked their clothes. He liked their vocabulary. He liked their rebellion. Lot liked life in Sodom. And you can't reach people when you're trying to be like them. We're different. You know why most churches can't influence the world? The people in the church are liking the world's clothing. The people in the church are liking the world's music. The people in the church are liking the world's movies. The people in the church are like the world. They like the world's vocabulary. The people in the church like the world's rebellion. Lot had his day and he was a disaster. Noah had his day and God used him.
Who would have thought Lot was saved? Nobody. Who would have thought Noah was saved? Everybody. Everybody knew Noah was saved. He had a testimony. Jesus said before he comes, there's Noah's day and there's Lot's day. God said, I had one generation and I had one man that stood for me. There was another time I had one generation and I didn't have one man who stood for me. I don't think Noah or Lot, okay, had a chance of changing the world. When you look at our schools and our courts, it's overwhelming. I'm almost done. But to look at your neighbor and pray for and witness to them is not overwhelming. I love the idea of God put me in my neighborhood. I when I drive past the houses, I think, you know, I'm here in Mechanicsville in our church. We can reach St. Mary's County. However, I drive down my neighborhood and I always think, I'll never forget when our neighbor, I was trying to witness to him and couldn't. He's a nice guy. My wife and I will tell you, we just moved into the house there in Martinsburg. We had witnessed to him. And I said, man, I need to witness to him. He lived right next door to us. And I think it was about a month and a half later. I can't remember. But I remember at 3 in the morning or 2:30, my wife and I woke up and we saw the red and the blue lights flashing from the street. We said, what's going on? We looked out through the window. The ambulance was there and they were carrying him. The bed was covered, you know, with a sheet over the person. He'd had a heart attack. And I said, he died. I didn't witness to him in time. I knew he was lost. From that time forward, my wife and I'll never forget, to lay your head down on your pillow knowing you just spoke with the man the day before, and now he's in hell burning. Now when I walk through my neighborhood and I look at my neighborhood, I always think God put me here to reach these people. You say, you're a pastor. I think God does that with every person in this room. These are your day. I don't mean to sound like Joel Osteen, okay? I'm not doing that right now. I'm really trying to be serious, but he sounds like, I'm really not. I'm trying to say, these could be the day where you look at your neighborhood and your neighbors, and I hope through a soul winner's eye. You're thinking about it. These could be the day that God used me. You say, I can't handle thinking about how corrupt the whole world is, but can you handle thinking about your neighborhood? Can you handle thinking about your family? Could you look at the kids on your street and think, you know what? If our bus never came down this street, I bet I could ask those parents and get permission for them to come to church. We could take those kids to church in our car. You don't have to have buses to have a bus ministry. Amen? It's how you look at things. This is your day. This could be your day. Are you going to hold to your separation or are you going to live like them? The days of Noah. It was supposed to be encouraging. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth, I ask.